Welcome to another edition of the Solid Foundations Property Podcast. In this edition, we will delve deep into the world of interest rates across the markets in the Republic of Ireland, in Northern Ireland, and in the UK. Let's get into another edition of the Solid Foundations Property Podcast.
And you're very welcome to another edition of Solid Foundations Property Podcast, of course. Well, I'm the not-so-good-looking one, of course, I'm Paddy Cofferty, and what's up beside me, just fresh back from holidays with a nice tan. How are you, Lisa O'Reilly? You're very welcome. Thanks for, what am I thanking you for? Thanks for coming back from holidays.
More I was wondering what you're thanking me for, but yeah, no, I had a great holidays and delighted to be back on another edition of our Solid Foundations podcast.
Yeah, it's been a great response to the launch and the topics we covered. I know we did one last month specifically for the Make It Happen event. It was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, got some great people there and made some great connections. Sad that we didn't win. Unfortunately, none of us won. Never to put our heads down. We'll be back again next year, I'm sure, Porrick, and we'll go again.
Yeah, but we had the most fun. We had the most crack, to be honest. I was sober. You weren't quite that sober, were you?
Yeah. I was very sober. Yes, thanks for sharing. But,
yeah. let's just say Lisa enjoyed her weekend. So of course we danced the night away, and we danced with Sharon Lecter herself. She was on the what do you call it, little podium with us doing a dance. She's a great crack, wasn't she?
Yeah, no, she was a great crack, so she was. There was a kind of a thing that you stood on and the camera goes around you. So, and it kind of, like, it's like a gimmicky thing for one of these kind of events. And so we had some great fun with that. But yeah, no, she was a great sport, in fairness to her. So yeah, Sharon Lecter, anyone that doesn't know, Sharon Lecter is the co-author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which everybody believes that it was Robert Kiyosaki who wrote the book, which he did, but it was co-authored by a lady called Sharon Lecter. She's based in the US, and she's just a powerhouse. She advocates, like, you know, everybody to, you know, build their assets, build their financial knowledge. And she was just, she was a great speaker at the seminar, and she was a great crack on the night as well. So she was a good all-rounder.
She was a wonderful crack. She was you're half Irish now, but she's kind of half Irish too. And her husband too, Michael, as well, who was, interestingly enough, speaking about IP and how to monetize that. It was a little bit of an eye-opener for me. I don't know about you, but it was definitely, it was well worth the listen to Michael.
Some of the things he was like, because he's all on about IP, intellectual property, and it's all about kind of like, even with this, like Solid Foundations say, you know, it's all about kind of how to, you know, trademark your stuff and all your ideas, so that you're protecting yourself and protecting your financial freedom sort of thing, you know. So yeah, no, he was really interesting too. We also had a guy, Ron White, who was a memory specialist. So I think it was about maybe near enough 100 at the seminar, and he went around speaking to us all during, like, say, the lunch break, and that for his talk then that afternoon, he was able to repeat back to us all of our names. And just some amazing stuff that he could do, like, literally just after speaking to us for a couple of seconds each, he could remember every one of our names.
Amazing man. And as I say, he was definitely an interesting character as well. So, you know, it was a weekend to be remembered, or in Lisa's case, a weekend that would she got to know the docky area a lot better. Lovely little town, it is Docky as well. Look, you're listening to Solid Foundations Property Podcast, myself and Lisa rambling on about having a drinking session in Docky and trying to win awards. Didn't happen for either of us, but look, we'll be back next year. Lisa, it's been an interesting couple of months since we last spoke about property in Ireland and the UK and Northern Ireland. Of course, today's topic is we're going to discuss all about the term interest rates, and it's I don't know about you, every time you you look into the business news and you just hope that they don't increase it. It hasn't happened in the UK, and we'll delve into that. The Bank of England held their rate at 5.25%. So look, interest rates are boring as hell to talk about. So important, at least when it comes to property investment.
So important, especially in the south of Ireland, when we don't have too many mortgage providers, basically. So really, there's only two real kind of finance providers for buy-to-lets or investment properties, residential investment properties, and they are Finance Ireland and ICS. Now, there are other banks who are providing finance for residential, AIB, Bank of Ireland, and Permanent TSB, but they don't give the loan to value, that the high enough loan to value that you need, that an investor would need or want. So I think like Bank of Ireland and AIB would only really give up to 50% loan to value. Whereas, you know, in order to make this business viable, for most people, you need the 70% loan to value, which is what Finance Ireland and ICS would provide. But then equally, if you do get the 70% loan to value, you know, the higher the loan, as we've seen now with interest rates, the higher the repayments. So it's harder for investors these days to actually make the return after paying the interest costs. So right now, I think I got the latest letter from ICS and Finance Ireland, and they're both at around the 7.45% now. So, you know, they've crept up, not crept up, they've actually jumped up massively in the last, 12 to 18 months. I remember when I first took out my the very first Finance Ireland loan mortgage in 2021, summer 2021, and I was at 4.2%. And now, like, you know, 18 months later, or say nearly 2 years later, and now we're at the 7.4%. You know, you really need to, keep an eye on your yields, to make sure that you're able to pay back those, you know, to pay back that interest. What's it been like in for kind of buy-to-let mortgages in the UK and in Northern Ireland, Porrick?
Yeah, well, the interest is around 5.5% to 5.75%, so still quite high. As I said, the Bank of England, they have, there's actually been 14 consecutive increases. And when you think about that, it's kind of, you know, you wouldn't have seen those increases coming. So inflation obviously is driving a lot of that. It's been reported that it's dropped slightly, 6.8 to 6.7% in August. But, we're hoping that inflation will come back a little bit more. Interest rates, I was reading today actually just about interest rates. They believe next year, obviously, it's going to be where they're going to be at. You still got a year of high interest rates. So, you know, the UK market and the Northern Ireland market, well, Northern Ireland specifically, you know, the lenders, you know, there's not a lot of lenders. Quantum and Kensington is the two lenders, really. And as you indicated, the buy-to-let, look, it's the deposits as well that they're looking at. Fees is another aspect that whenever you're getting, suppose some of the lenders are charging fees where they would have never charged, now that they're charging, you hear some eye-watering figures around those fees as well. So, yeah, it's one of those that you're trying to guesstimate down the line on that, which can be, look, it's not easy to do at the minute, you know. And anyone that tells you it is not well informed, I don't think, you know. But just reading from today from a mortgage advisor that sent me some rates, 5.25%. Anything up to your nearly 6%. Just and 2 year mortgage currently sits at 6.58% as well. So those are some of the rates that I've got just today, like, you know. So yeah, probably starting at your 5.5, up into 5.7 into your, you know, it just depends on how you fix for then, suppose, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So I suppose, look, you do have more options up there, and hence that's probably the reason why you are getting like lower interest rates as well. And obviously then you're working off of different central bank kind of rates as well. And it's a big challenge for us down in the south, in that there really is only kind of two lenders out there. So, and they are pretty reasonable when it comes to rates. Now, if you go for... So you mentioned that you now have to start paying for the fees. In the south of Ireland, you always had to pay for the fees. So I can give you an example. When you go to finance a property, you typically have your own solicitor's fees for, you know, arranging the conveyancing. Then obviously then they can incorporate the fees of arranging the mortgage on your part, but then also the bank's solicitors, you would also have to pay, like the person who's applying for the loan would also have to pay for the bank's solicitor's fees, and they can be anywhere, I've paid anywhere between 1200 and 1800 euro for the bank's solicitor's fees. Then you've got the likes of the valuation. You have to obviously pay for a valuation for the property. You've got other kind of fees that you just, like stamp duty, obviously. So you always have to pay your stamp duty. So probably a purchase of, say, a house that would be valued at about 150,000, you're talking a good kind of 5,000 in terms of legal fees between the two sets of legal fees. If my model is to use private investors first, and then to refinance then after, say, 2 to 5 years, the refinance is equally can be anywhere up to kind of €3,000 in legal fees. So yeah, it can be really expensive in terms of arranging finance. So the way I tend to do it is try and, you know, do it and set it and forget it as such. So get your mortgage and kind of forget, unless there's a real benefit in changing mortgage providers. It can be really expensive to do. So I wouldn't necessarily go jumping around kind of changing finance providers, especially if you're with one of the two main ones, which is Finance Ireland or ICS right now.
Yeah, well, it's interesting times. As I say, interest rates, it is the buzzword at the minute, but look, we've got to kind of pass that. And you see, look, interest rates are high now at the minute, and as a bit of research I was doing today just indicated that it could be into 2024, late 2024 in the UK and Northern Ireland, before they look at lowering that a little bit. Do you foresee that maybe happening in the Irish market?
Yeah, like it's like, you know, we're very much controlled by the European Central Bank. So, you know, we really do have to look at kind of what's going on in mainland Europe, Germany, France, Spain. There's some of the bigger powerhouses that are there. You listen to economists like Jim Power, you listen to, you know, different kind of podcasts and people in the know. And no one's really in the know. That's the problem. Like, things are coming on us at such speed now that are coming from, you know, you're blindsided by them. So, for example, like COVID, you know, the Ukraine war, you know, the way energy prices soared. Things are just like they're just coming at you that you and because of the technology and, you know, the global world that we're living in. You know, it's probably the way the world is going to go, like where things are just going to be, you know, landed upon you sort of thing, and you've just got to pivot and change. So yes, in an ideal world where, you know, they can control inflation by, you know, increasing the interest rates, but with all these kind of external forces going on, it's not a clear cut kind of, you know, inflation goes up, you increase your interest rates to reduce spending. There's not a linear relationship anymore. So yeah, you'd like to think that interest rates would stabilize, but you just don't know. And I suppose the thing is that when you're invested in property, you want to kind of be certain that, and certain as much as you can be, that your property is going to weather the storm. So if there is more interest in increases in interest rates, that your property will still wash its face and still be able to make a profit, albeit a smaller profit, even when interest rates do rise. And that if the profits are reduced too much and you're into kind of making a loss, that you can pivot. And that is a big challenge in Ireland at the moment because of all the regulation that's involved with, how regulated our rental market is at the moment. So it does pose a big challenge for investors.
Yeah, and suppose from that point of view, the budget, suppose there's information going out in the budget potentially to, is there going to be a toaster and a washing machine this time, or is it going to be a, is it going to be a bit more exponential, do you think?
It's a hard one for them to do. Like, you know, the whole fridge thing was absolute joke, you know, and it did absolutely nothing to attract or keep landlords in the industry. But I suppose the pressure is on them. This housing crisis is not going away. No matter what media stories they spin, it's not going away, and they need to keep landlords in the industry. So we're all hoping for tax incentives. Some of the ones that they're talking about is maybe 25% tax on rental income, capped at 25%, rather than it being kind of taxed at your marginal rate, which can be anywhere over 40%. Another suggestion could be that if you hold on to your property for over, I think it's 7 years, they're saying that when you eventually sell after 7 years, there's no capital gains tax on the sale. So it just encourages you to hold on to the property for longer. So there's all different suggestions on how they can kind of use tax incentives to keep investors in the market. But there's a big caveat with this, Porik, and it's the one that I'm trying to kind of, highlight as much as I can. Tax comes after profit. So you only pay tax on profits, okay? And with the interest rates increasing and with the, I mentioned, regulations in Ireland, and most importantly, these rent caps, where it caps you from increasing the rents that you can charge, that means that profits are low and lower and even into a loss. So tax incentives on low profits or losses, they're no good. It's like trying to close the door once the horse is bolted, as such. So I really think that the rent caps have done very little to actually help with the housing crisis and all the rest of it. But unfortunately, for political reasons, probably the rent caps are going to be really hard to kind of roll back. They're meant to be rolled back at the end of last year. They extended it out to December 2024, I think it is. But it's going to be very hard for them to roll it back in terms of, like, you know, gaining political power again and trying to get re-elected, you know.
It's very deep there on the old tax, just bringing out the tax book that you studied over the years. So well done.
Yeah.
You're right in a way. It's kind of common, you know, it's not common sense, sorry, I shouldn't say that. It's when you think a wee bit more about it as a token gesture, really, if there's not enough profits, and there's not, you know, where's the tax incentives going to be? And obviously, with 50-odd% tax on profits, if it's in a limited company, a little bit, you know, is a little bit more effective. But if you're just, say, a landlord with one property, it's kind of, look, it doesn't make much sense, does it, Lisa?
No, and there's a lot of landlords out there with just one or two properties. So I think they make up like the majority of landlords that are actually in Ireland at the moment is the one or two properties. So, it really needs to be kind of, you know, in order for this to actually make a difference, it needs to be kind of focused around that accidental landlord or the one that has one or two kind of investment properties.
Yeah, well, that's, as I say, interest rates, not really that glamorous to be talking about, but you need to know them if you're going to do some property investment in the Republic or even in Northern Ireland in the UK. Look, the UK at the minute, as I said to you, it's the activity levels have decreased a little bit. All right, as I say, they've held the base rate 5.2%. Is that going to hold it? Average, you know, your inflation has gone back a little bit. Just speaking to you off camera about some of the timber prices has dropped quite a bit. Will that kick on to actual builders? You'd be hoping it would. But we are starting to hear in the grapevine, like, sites not starting. That is, look, the big 20 that do a lot of building in the UK and, you know, have indicated that they've dropped their sites by 25%, in some cases a lot more, you know, haven't started, I should say. So, you know, that would indicate there's going to be a lot more supply on the market than well, there is demand, but what it should mean by that is the actual material manufacturing supply is going to be a lot higher, so it's going to take down the price. And just today, I was speaking to one of the merchants, and he was explaining the timber during the COVID. Timber went through the roof, and now it's back exponentially back to prices before 2020. So it came back, you know, I think it was three times the price, for example. It's fallen back, you know, exponentially now. But look, will that filter down to the Irish market, the Northern Irish market? That'll be interesting to see as well. So, you know, there is still, look, there's demand everywhere. You know, there's demand for all types of strategies. Students' accommodation is a big one. A lot of, you know, colleges that you speak to, they're struggling at the minute to get rental accommodation for their students. That has a knock-on effect. People doesn't really understand either. Like, you know, if you can't get in to do a course, it affects your local economical city or university if you can't get accommodation. Nursing homes as well, actually getting nurses who can come in and stay locally is another factor that's causing problems as well. Some of the research that I've been doing, and also I know that you've come across as well, you know, white collar individuals trying to get locations to stay as well. That's another issue. So there's a lot more issues here than meets the eye. And interest rates is a part of it.
It is, yeah. Like my strategy would be HMOs, which is, you know, to kind of rent out by the room, basically. So rather than rent, say, a three-bedroom house to maybe a couple, I would rent a three-bedroom house to, say, three individuals. And that way you can increase the revenue coming in. You're also kind of stabilizing the or de-risking the property in that you've got three income earners who are all paying towards the rent, and then that will then help with the rising interest rates. Now, HMOs are the furthest from passive income that you could imagine. It's not like renting to a family, it's set and forget. There's higher turnover with renting out by the room. You know, you've got three people that possibly don't know each other, doesn't get on with each other. And so you get to see all of the, you know, you get a lot more kind of tenant turnover with HMOs and there's a lot more management of them with cleaning, etc. So like HMOs are kind of a good way to mitigate against the right, or not mitigate, but kind of protect yourself against the rising interest rates. And especially in Ireland with the huge amount of kind of regulation that's in the rental market. So it's a good way to actually kind of protect against the rising interest rates. But again, you always have to keep an eye. You always have to kind of keep your eye on where interest rates are going. Another thing would be good to mention is in Ireland, or in the south of Ireland, the couple of banks that are in it that are lending for buy-to-lets, they don't fix, they don't allow fixed interest rates. So you really are, you have that added kind of uncertainty that as soon as the ECB increases its interest rates, you can be sure that the two main banks who are lending, they're going to follow suit pretty soon after the ECB introduces an increase in interest rates. And so it's just another thing to bear in mind if you are investing. Now, I know it sounds all doom and gloom and it's, you know, people don't want to hear this and they want to hear the kind of more glamorous side. But it's good for people to kind of go in with their eyes wide open when it comes to rental properties, and especially in times of increased interest rates. And also to bear in mind that we were kind of spoiled for a long, long time. You know, having interest rates down as low as like kind of, you know, basically 0%, ECB was at 0%, you know, having interest rates at that low level for that length of time, we were spoiled with those kind of rates. And I suppose we kind of need to bear that in mind. This could be the new norm. So whilst we're all talking about like, yeah, we've had these major rises, we've had these major rises in the last kind of, you know, 12 to 18 months, this could actually be our new norm. So if that's the case, then we need to adjust, and we need to maybe, you know, think about how we're going to pivot if we are going to stay in business in you know, investment property.
And I suppose that kind of aspect of it as well, as you touched on, it is thinking outside the box a little bit, you know, looking at different strategies. I know you've been looking at new strategies, particularly. How do you find that?
Yeah, so I've been looking at some kind of development gains or planning permission gains. I am looking in just different counties as well. So majority of my portfolio at the moment is in Waterford, but I'm going kind of looking in Limerick and some other regional cities and towns. So yeah, it's all about kind of you know, seeing how to protect myself, my company, and most importantly my investors. So that's kind of always, and how I protect them and myself and my company is, you know, rental yields, returns on investment, and minimizing my risk through, you know, security and property. So you always have to kind of keep that forefront of your mind, you know. Interest rates fixed, you can fix them in Northern Ireland, Pádraig,
it's funny you should say about the general aspect around protection and trying to, you know, mitigate risk at the minute. You know, it is a long-term like business strategy, property. It's you know, it is, some people always think it's a quick win at times. Not always the case. You have to sometimes you have to, you know, as you indicated about planning plays, things like that. It's interesting you should mention that, because it's a different strategy for you, is it?
Yeah, it's a different strategy. It's something that was it was an opportunity that came up, and yeah, I've been working with my engineer on it, and we think it's going to be a nice runner. So the location, again, it's out of Waterford, and it was always something that I wanted to do, was to kind of get into other regional cities and towns outside of Waterford to mitigate my risk. And yeah, this one seems to fit the bill. So now I'm not going to move away from HMOs. I really do believe that it's a great strategy, especially like now in times of increase in interest rates, and potentially how long are these going to be around for, these interest rates. So I do believe that it's a great kind of strategy. But again, it's possibly not a strategy for someone who works full time in a full time job, because it's not passive income. So yeah, it's just keeping my options open and being able to kind of you know, pivot and change as needs be.
And tell me, are you having fun doing that? Is that has it stretched it? Because you can get Denali going to buy lots and HMOs for a while, and HMOs is House of Multidocracy for anyone that's not so sure. Is that stretching you a little bit, do you think?
No. I'm saying no now because I'm not knee deep in planning submissions and dealing possibly with objections and things like that. So no, right now I'm at the kind of exciting phase because it's something that I'm not familiar with, and I love learning something new. And I really trust my engineer who's done this many, many times. So I'm excited to kind of jump into something new. I suppose the way I see it is the amount of time and legal in terms of my time engaging solicitors, legal costs, amount of time that's involved in, say, one house, purchasing one house, I could, you know, leverage that time a bit more wisely and spend that same amount of time and possibly a little bit more, like legal fees, and get a bigger gain from it. So it's, you know, I suppose it's a natural kind of progression for someone that's probably involved in property, you know, on a full-time basis.
Let's look for those plan players and how they can actually move. So, look, it's been an interesting conversation about interest rates. Look, we're not experts in that field. Like, you know, there is, it's a thing that's a moving part all the time at the minute. Some rates are coming down. You see that in Northern Ireland and in the UK. Don't see it in the Republic of Ireland. And supposedly the overriding factor on that is like, do your numbers and do them twice and do them again just in case. It's just one of those. Funny, I was just doing some numbers last night on a HMO and the stress testing of it now at the minute. It could be different 6 months' time or a couple of months' time. It was when you're budgeting a certain amount and then you realise you might need a few quid more. How can you actually get around that there? So interest rates, I know we were kind of joking about them. They're not much crack. They aren't. They're boring. They're not the nice hot tubs and things like that we talk about in the essays, but they're very important. Like, in it. And we don't mean to come across as quite boring, but that's it's, you know, we are quite, you know, a good crack, but they are just what they are at the end of the day. Tell me, new property consultant you've brought on the last day that we've seen in your social posts. You took your little daughter out on site.
Yeah, no, she's very good. Yeah, she's listening well. And I think she'll be a fully fledged property investor in the next 12 months, I'd say. She's 5.5 years of age. If anyone don't know what Porik's talking about, I have my little five and a half year old daughter in one of the HMOs we're refurbing at the moment. And I was upstairs who was I talking to? I think at the Tyler upstairs. And I left her downstairs with the builders, and I came down and she was playing with laser levels and teaching them a thing or two. So it's great to get her involved in some of the projects.
it's good. Hard a bit getting them involved in an early age, but I suppose creative strategies is another topic we're going to have a wee chat about in the next couple of months, obviously. Creative strategies, they're getting more popular. Actually, I was last week at our Northwest property meeting we had, of course, one of our solicitors there from TC Legal discussing about the creative strategies, and some of them are really, really good. And again, another mitigation tool in your toolbox if you're into property investing is about those creative strategies, how to actually operate them and how to understand them first of all is my next step. So I'm going to delve into deep into one or two of them. All right, so rent to service accommodation is one that's quite popular in the UK. It's starting to pick up in Belfast and places like that. I do know it does also happen in Dublin, I do believe, Lisa, as well. So maybe you can, I don't know if you ever come across it.
What did you say about Dublin, sorry, Pork?
creative strategies. One of the creative strategies that are actually starting to move with I would say it's kind of put a pace. They're quite popular. One of those is rent to service accommodation. So obviously you're renting a property and renting it out on service accommodation. Now I know they are quite popular in the UK, this strategy. I do know that in certain locations in Northern Ireland. Has it gone into to the Republic of Ireland?
We could probably do a whole podcast about creative strategies, and in particular Airbnbs. So Airbnbs, because of the housing crisis that we have in Southern Ireland, the government are wanting to basically ban Airbnbs anywhere where there's a rent pressure zone, and more or less most towns and cities now are all in the rent pressure zone. So it's kind of like a bold word if you're running an Airbnb in Ireland. So it's, you know, I mean, so basically what they're saying is if your property is in the rent pressure zone, your property needs planning permission if you want to be able to run it as an Airbnb. And if you go for planning permission, you will unlikely get it if it's in an area of high housing demand, which you can kind of understand. But the problem is there's a lot of areas, you know, around our local area, for example, you've got Dungarvan, you've got Tramore, even Cork Town up in Wexford, you know, places in Kerry, Cork, where they're, you know, really reliant on tourism. But they're in the rent pressure zone. So technically, they need plan permission in order to operate as an Airbnb. So the government have not actually brought out legislation yet to kind of monitor this. They were meant to bring it out in March 2023. They delayed it until, they're saying, the end of this year, so December 2023. So we're yet to see the legislation yet. And I spoke to Forter Island about a couple of weeks back, and they're still not in any the wiser as to whether a legislation is going to be brought out by the end of this year. So in terms of Airbnb, if anybody's thinking about that strategy in the Republic of Ireland, I would say just tread with caution and do as much research as you can. I imagine that when the legislation does get brought out, they'll bring out some sort of loophole or some sort of a kind of concession for typically touristy towns, because I think that if they don't, they will just kill tourism and they won't be able to be seen to be doing that. So I would say that if it's typically in a touristy town, I would say you're probably at less of a risk. But bear in mind that we're all at risk. Whoever's running Airbnbs, we're all at risk when this legislation does come out.
Yeah, it's a hot topic at the moment because there is a shortage in hotel rooms and things like that. And that, I suppose that's another aspect where it's not really mentioned that much. We don't have enough hotels.
Yeah, and like say, there's a lot of hotels that are overtaken with, say, some of the, you know, the refugees coming in then as well. So it's pushing up the actual prices of the hotels. If you go and try and stay in a hotel now in Dublin, you know, you're talking at least €300 a night, at least, plus more, you know. So, you know, it's just, it's a shortage all around. I can understand why they don't want Airbnbs when it could be used for, you know, long-term rental. But it's just this whole thing about kind of, you know, they're my assets at the end of the day, or they're your assets at the end of the day, and you're being told what you can and can't do with them. We're dealing enough when it comes with, like, kind of rising interest rates, with, you know, the real high rates of tax that we're paying. And then on top of it all, then you're told what you can and can't do with your property. I do understand there is a housing crisis, but without us investors to invest in property, they won't, you know, they won't get over this crisis by themselves. They need us. So I think they really need to kind of work with us rather than kind of just imposing all these laws and assuming that we're all kind of in it just to make as much money as we can and that we're all bad people. You know, they really need to kind of work with us investors, I think.
Yeah, and move forward. Well, look, we've been talking for over 40 minutes now. Continue to listen to us and our ramblings about the property investment world in Northern Ireland and in the Republic and the UK as well. Thank you very much. I suppose, Lisa, it's topics on a monthly basis, and I suppose there's always something each month that we try and give of value, and hopefully we've done that today. It's been very well covered on the interest side of things, but again, we're going to say it, we don't know, and someone tells you that there's no delaying to you, because it's one of those that it's something you necessarily can't control, and it's very important to let our listeners know that you cannot control that. And as you pointed out as well, hidden costs associated with that as well, and that's through the banking solicitor and the other aspect of getting the funds through. But also you've got to remember that where brokers weren't asking you for a fee, they are now, and some of those fees are quite high from what I'm hearing. So it's also very important to factor those in as well.
Yeah, it sure is. And if anybody kind of wants us to kind of dive through any other topics, so Porrick mentioned maybe our next podcast, we can talk about some creative strategies. I have some rent to rents myself, and I know Porrick does as well. So I've done lease options. I'm going to go through a delayed completion soon. So we can go through some of these kind of creative strategies on the next podcast. But equally, if there's anything kind of, you know, you'd want us to cover, any topics, any burning topics you'd like us to cover and give our kind of two pence worth, we'd be happy to talk. And again, if anybody kind of wants to join us or even wants to kind of, you know, come on and maybe could add value and provide some information for our listeners, again, reach out to either myself or Porrick and we see what we can do. But yeah, it'd be good to kind of get some people's perspective on what they'd like us to talk about. And we'll try to try our best to cover it. And if we don't know the answers, we've got a pretty big network between the two of us that we can find out the answers, and we can go through them logically as best we can.
Yeah, logically. And there's loads of topics around property, and there's loads of issues at the minute. But for every issue, there is a solution, and that's where we'll leave it on this evening's podcast. You'll get us. Well, all the, thankfully, Spotify and on iTunes as well. You can look back as well on Facebook, YouTube as well. We'll put the series up there. And as Lisa says, get in contact with us, Lisa O'Reilly, Laura Property Solutions, or myself, Porrick Kilfordy. You'll get me on LinkedIn. Drop us a message. We'd love to hear from you. And, well, Lisa, I don't know about you, but it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks as well. From the Irish perspective, from the budget, to see what happens there, from the UK point of view as well, to see what's really going to happen in Northern Ireland, specifically where I invest, to see where the rate's going to go, is it going to come back, and how that's going to play out. It's exciting times.
It is. And then the budget as well, that's coming up as well. So maybe if we're in time next month, then maybe for the next podcast, we can talk about some of the budgetary measures as well that could impact, because we're hoping that we're going to see, especially in Southern Ireland, that we're going to see some tax incentives coming our way with the 2024 budget.
That's it from this month's edition of Solid Foundations. Don't forget to check us out on all of the podcast platforms. You will get us on iTunes, Spotify, and also Google Play also. And don't forget to give us an old like on our Facebook page, Solid Foundations Property Podcast. Until next time, happy investing.